And welcome to Pink Flamingo RV Radio, the voice of the RV industry. I'm your host, Tracy Miller, and thanks for joining us. And in studio happens to be our staff photographer, our audio engineer, and the guy who we count on to make everything work and get it out there posted so you can actually hear the show, happens to be my son, Austin Miller. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. But before we start the show, we want to thank our sponsors. Both of these have been with us since the very beginning. First off, Unique RV in Henderson, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Mario and Mike Certino. They have been in the industry of RV repairs for over 45 years now, and they do a fantastic job on any of the work that they put out. We also have the Auto Collections inside the Link Hotel and Casino on the Strip in Las Vegas. This is Rob Williams, and they have 125,000 square feet filled to the brim of classic cars, race cars, one-off cars, anything you can think of. A lot of them are for sale. So go down to our website, and you can either go to our links page or our sponsors page, and you can find both of those guys right there.
And speaking of Las Vegas and Auto Collections, you and I actually made a trip up to Auto Collections yesterday. We did a one-day round trip up there back, and you have now made the big time in the sense of you have a car for sale on the showroom of Auto Collections, don't you?
I do, yeah. I want to give a big thanks to Rob Williams. He allowed me to put my 1971 Fiat 500L on the floor. I'm getting ready to sell it, so hopefully I can push it out the door, and it's a good place to have it there.
You know, it's a great little car. We hate to see it go, but unfortunately, you and I, having jumped deep with both feet for both of us into the world of the hobby of vintage RVing, we have way too many other projects going on. So it was kind of time to see that one go down the road and be able to put a little time into the project that you're working on, which is, well, kind of unknown. We still don't know what type of trailer or what brand this is because we haven't found any markings. But you ended up about, what, 6 months ago, finding a very unique trailer. It's plywood covered in canvas, so we don't know if it's a covered wagon, if it's a Hayes, it's an early Palace, we're not quite sure. But while we were up in Pismo, we happened to speak to our friends from Tinkerton Trailer Company, and it was Carl Holm. He said this thing could actually date back to what year?
1927, which was a number that I have not heard yet. So.
Yeah, we were thinking more of the 30s, but Carl said, I don't know. He goes, that could be in the 27 range. But anyway, unique trailer. We haven't found any markings on it yet, as I said. But you are working on the interior right now. And what are you doing to that?
Oh, man. I don't know who has owned this over the past 50 years, which it sat in the same spot for 50 years. And it had several different people living in it over those 50 years. And each one apparently decided that they hated the color on the inside, so they thought they'd add three more layers of paint. So there's a total of 6+ layers of paint in this trailer that I'm attempting to strip out.
Well, but you're doing a good job. It's coming off. It takes several times of putting the stripper on to get it off. But once you get it down to the natural wood underneath, it has got to be some of the prettiest original plywood dating back to there. Folks, this is not plywood like you go to Home Depot or Lowe's to buy or nowadays. There are no knots. This is all beautiful grained plywood. And boy, it's turning out really nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. I kind of have to thank these people for putting 6 layers of paint because it actually protected the wood underneath.
It did. It's just kind of a bear to get all that paint off. But anyway, it looks good. The thought is you may just go ahead and varnish this after it's all done, right?
Yeah, we don't know yet. Just started ripping off the canvas on the outside, and depending on how good the wood is and if there's any rot anywhere, we might just leave it plain wood.
I think it would look great. It's got really nice lines to it in the grain, and then with the lines of the trailer, they really go hand in hand. But anyway, good job that you're doing on it, but we want to let folks know, for those of you who listen to Pink Flamingo RV Radio via iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio now, whether it's through our network company, which is Modern Life Network, or any other location other than our website, we just wanted to remind you, if you go to our website to listen to it, there is actually a slideshow that goes along with each one of our episodes. So it's kind of nice to have the visuals to be able to see those as we're talking to someone. But we understand if you have your places that you like to go, like iHeartRadio or Modern Life Network, those are the areas that you're comfortable with. Please go there and listen. We just appreciate the fact that you do listen to us. And be sure to visit on our website now. There is our advertisers page. These are all friends of Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We would like to ask you to support these businesses. We are just beginning a push on this page. We are very lucky to have, well, ironically, Lucky's Customs. It's custom paint and graphics. We have unique movie cars. These are the builders of TV movie cars that most of us grew up with, if you're in my age bracket. The A-Team van, the vehicles from the Indiana Jones movies, Hardcastle and McCormick, Nash Bridges, Cuda, the Dick Tracy cars, the Dumb and Dumber dog van and the mini bike, all the very popular things that we've seen. Also, we have for Veterans Sake Foundation. These are offering services to veterans and family members with PTSD, as well as offering service dogs. And a new name that we now have on our page, Vintage Caravan Magazine out of Australia. So offering a view into the world of caravanning down under. Caravanning is what they call travel trailers. And also World's Tallest Thermometer, who will be joining us on this show in Baker, California, along with their Temp 134 gift shop. And our podcast network host, which happens to be Modern Life Network. So please give a listen to Modern Life Network. There are a lot of other shows on there, varied in topic. I'm sure there's something else that you would enjoy listening to. And if you happen to have a business that you want displayed on our advertisers page, please contact us at pinkflamingorvradio@gmail.com for more information. And don't forget to visit us on Instagram at pinkflamingorvradio. We also have the same photos from Instagram loaded to our website. That is under the topic of Pinkstagram. So we know that not everyone has an Instagram account. We wanted to make those photos available to you. They are now there on our website. And if you happen to be a writer, a blogger for the RV industry or lifestyle, we welcome your contribution. We now have an articles page. We are starting the push on that. So this is a way for you to get your group, your club, personal stories, anything having to do with the RV industry out for our audience to listen to. All right, let's switch gears here real quick. And as we do with most of our shows, it's time to visit with our friend Monty Hudson. He happens to be the president of For Veterans Sake Foundation. As I said, from our advertisers page, they offer services and treatment to veterans and their family members that may be suffering from PTSD. And with all of the veterans that are out there who happen to be driving RVs or their family members, we want at Pink Flamingo RV Radio to make sure that any of the veterans know where they can reach out, they can talk to Monty, be able to get some help if needed. And we always look forward to speaking with Monty. So joining us on the phone happens to be the president of For Veterans Sake Foundation, Monty Hudson. Hey, Monty, how you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Hey, doing well. Thank you. Well, as I've already told the folks, you're always up to something as far as getting the word out there for Veterans Sake. And you were really up to something big this week. What was that?
Oh, we were on the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family Show. And they put us on there a segment about the PTSD service dogs and the services we offer and what we can do. And they really asked a lot of good questions and got it out there to of how it's done. And so we're pretty pleased with it.
Well, that's a big deal to be put on national television and for people to be able to see you and Saxon, and you had other people there with you. I think that just makes it that much bigger, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I had Julie Hollowell, where she was one of my veterans that received a service dog, and her dog Billy was there with us and did fantastic. And anybody goes to our Facebook site, they'll see all the pictures there. And we got to meet Lisa Gibbons and all the crew and the cast of the TV show, and they were all just so nice. It was just unbelievable.
Okay, so let me ask you, that type of a platform or a format, do you think that over long term is really going to help get the word out there more for Veterans Sake?
Well, it does. It gets it out there. For now, it gets it out to a lot more people a lot faster. But over the long run, radio shows like what you're doing and some of the other things we're doing, just getting out and being where the veterans are, I think is going to push the word and spread the word for a base a little thicker and a little more solid than just one TV show. The show's awesome. It's great. A lot of people watch it. I think they have on the average, 369,000 people watching it every day across the country, which is really good. But you figure over time, the gun shows we do, the events we do, how many people we see all the time, military installations, the move to Mexico, we're going to be hitting more military installations out there, and the motorhome's almost completed now. It's going to be a lot.
Well, you know, here at Pink Flamingo, we're huge fans of what you do, and, you know, we try to have you on almost every week. There are some weeks that we can't do it, but, you know, it's that constant fever for somebody to be able to hear the same message over and over that maybe after the fifth or the tenth time, that person finally goes, hey, I know somebody that can benefit from that. So do you see more of that people that know you long-term come back and say, hey, Monty, you know, we've got so-and-so here that needs a little bit of help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people that we've handed a business card to a year ago or a year and a half ago, and they call us up and they say, hey, I just talked to so-and-so, and he gave me your business card. And I change the business cards about every 3 months, so I know when I see them, I know what time frame that card came from and where it came from. So it gives me an idea to keep track of our marketing and things like that. So sometimes those cards are a year and a half old, and it's just like you just said. Sometimes it just takes being in the right place at the right time and, hey, I know a guy that can help your husband or help you or help. Here's his card. And go see them, you know, give them a call. And, you know, so they'll give me a call or come and see me, and I'll look at the card or ask them what the card looks like, and they'll tell me, and that way I know the time frame.
Well, you know, any venue you can be a part of or any show, I think that all just contributes to what you're trying to do and getting the word out there. You know, when I'm out on the road, I've always got that in the back of my mind. If I happen to talk to a veteran, I always bring it up, and it's raised some eyebrows. Not that they've necessarily needed it, but they may remember that later down the road. So I think that's key to, you know, somebody saying, I may not need it now, I may not know somebody now, but we will get that word out there for veterans' sake.
You betcha. And everything is, you just never know when it's going to be. And, you know, being on your guys' show all the time, it pounds that in to where we're a household name. And when that does arise, people know where to go. They know where to turn to. And they remember. And that's what it's all about.
Well, exactly. And that's the reason we have you on the show. As we've said many times, if you think about how many people are out there in RVs, a lot of those people are veterans. So if you happen to know someone that needs some assistance, if it happens to be you personally, give Monty a call at 855-483-8725, or you can go to their website. It is 4FOR, veterans with an S, and then SAKE, S-A-K-E, .org. Monty, you're doing a great thing out there. We will continue spreading the word as much as we can, but hopefully more people will come to you and actually take advantage of what you have to offer.
Oh, you betcha. We're looking forward to it.
All right, Monty. Well, thanks for being with us, folks. Stand by. There's a lot more to come. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We'll be right back.
Beer and Bros is a half-hour news commentary podcast. Brothers-in-law Lyle and Dan discuss items from the week's news, from the serious to the silly and even the surreal. Lyle is a history teacher and football coach in Southwest Michigan. Dan is marketing director at a music store in Northwest Florida. Cars, the outdoors, music, movies, beer, politics, religion, and pop culture are all points of interest and likely to turn up during discussion. There is no bad language, but no topic is off limits. Beer and Bros, the podcast you've been looking for.
Welcome back. Well, early on in Pink Flamingo's beginnings, we introduced you to a unique roadside attraction. If you happen to be driving the I-15 corridor north or south that runs between California and Las Vegas, make it a point to stop in Baker, California. You will there find the world's tallest thermometer. And at the base of the thermometer, you will also find their official gift shop, which is named Temp 134. We'll get into that here in a minute. And it's now summertime. The thermometer's working overtime from what we saw yesterday. We'll explain that also in a minute. And we thought it was appropriate to check back in with the owner, which happens to be joining us on the phone. It is back in the hands of the family who originally put up the thermometer. And half of that team happens to be joining us on the phone, and that would be Larray Hargis. How are you doing, Larray?
I'm great, Tracy. How are you?
I am good. I'm recovering from our trip yesterday. Austin and I, as we mentioned earlier on in the opening of the show, made a trip from our place all the way up to Vegas, did a drop with his little car, and turned around and came back. So it was a very long day, but we stopped in front of the thermometer on our way up. We got a picture of Austin's Fiat in front of the thermometer, which was kind of cool. And we got to see your husband, Bill, talk to him for a few minutes. And now here we have you on the show. We wanted to kind of bring everybody up to date as to what is going on with World's Tallest Thermometer. I'm going to give a couple of brief things and I'll let you elaborate on it. You have made a lot of renovations in the last year plus. You've received a lot of attention. You are on the radio on a regular basis. If anybody tunes into the radio, and I'll let you give the station as you're going up through Vegas. And you were just named as one of the 11 top places to visit on the corridor. And then you've got a big event going on today and tomorrow. So you want to explain some of that? Because you've got more information on it than I do.
Yeah, we have. We've been really, really busy. And as you saw, the thermometer is definitely working overtime. It was 115 here in Baker today. So that thermometer was, those lights were shooting way up in the air today.
Yes, they were.
As you were parked in front of it.
Yeah, we stopped by in the morning, like I said, when we saw Bill. It was 111 then, and then on our way back this evening, it was 115. So not a huge change, but it was hot.
Yeah, it was a hot one today. Our high temperature so far this year has been 118. So we have a feeling we're going to break that as well. So, but we have been really busy and had a lot of people taking note of the world's tallest thermometer in Baker. So we've been very excited. We actually, a year ago, we did the whole Strange Inheritance from Fox Business Network.
Right.
So we had a whole episode done with that. And then, as you said, BuzzFeed had a article that they put out on their online magazine that rated us in the top 11 places to stop outlying Las Vegas. So we were very excited to be there. And today and tomorrow, we also got contacted by Google Maps. And Google Maps asked us if they could do a promotional event using the world's tallest thermometer. They're going to do one of their famous Google Maps road trips from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. And they are going to be stopping. They have special stops along the way that they are doing promotional events, Peggy Sue's Diner, World's Tallest Thermometer, and then Seymour Road as well. And so you saw today there's a big igloo in front of the thermometer. So the plan tomorrow is to for the Google Map followers to serve the world's coldest coffee under the world's tallest thermometer.
I have to say, it was a very odd view as we pulled up on our way back yesterday to see an igloo out in front of the thermometer saying 115 degrees. But it's odd because you're going to be serving, or somebody's going to be serving, the world's coldest coffee?
Yeah, I'm not a big coffee person into this, but I guess it's the new thing, the nitrogen infused coffee or something like that. And I guess it's the new thing. And so they're going to be serving that today and tomorrow. So Friday and Saturday, they're going to be serving that. So it should be pretty interesting. I posted on my Facebook page today that it was so hot out here that I must have been seeing a mirage because an igloo just popped up in front of the world's tallest thermometer.
Yeah, that was an odd sight to see. But, you know, and I still don't get it, you know, how the whole thing works between Google Maps and a road trip and all of that. I'm just hoping you get a better crowd than all the Pokemon chasers.
Well, it's funny that you should mention that because we get a lot of Pokemon chasers as well, because the world's tallest thermometer is a Pokemon gym.
Is it really?
It is. And so I've never been into Pokemon much, but I've had to kind of learn the game so I can talk to my customers. So as we speak today, the Pokemon gym is being taken over. It was captured by the blue team. But last weekend it was the red team. I don't know what all that means, but I just I just want to kind of keep up on it so I know who captures us. But
I gotta be honest,
a Pokemon gym.
I don't have a clue what any of it is. All I know is I'm seeing videos on Facebook of people walking into rivers and out into traffic and getting hit by cars, and it's like, okay. So I hope you have a whole better response with the things today and tomorrow and the iced coffee and everything. But hey, real quick, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of a background on World's Tallest Thermometer. And again, anyone that travels that corridor, you need to stop in, see Lorraine and Bill, or whoever happens to be working in the gift shop, but you will not be disappointed. The fact is, it is a huge thermometer, which is why it's called the World's Tallest Thermometer. But this was actually started many years ago. It went out of your family, came back to your family. So can you give our listeners a very brief description of what happened?
I sure can. So my dad built a thermometer in 1991. He had several businesses in Baker, always wanted to build a roadside attraction. So, hey, what's better than 134? Foot thermometer in the middle of the desert.
Exactly.
It represents the hottest temperature ever in the world nearby Death Valley, 134 degrees back in 1913. Fast forward a bunch of years, my dad sold the thermometer in 2000 when he became ill, traded hands several times, even talked of tearing it down, which obviously devastated my family. My mom promised if she could ever get it back again, she would pay to restore it. And so in 2014, she got it back in foreclosure, and then she used her savings to restore it, and here we are today.
Wow, and it is an attraction. I mean, everybody that goes by knows of the thermometer. It's only a percentage of the folks that actually stop, though. You get more foreign tourists that come through than you do the regulars going the corridor, don't you?
You know, it was that way. We're starting to get more and more, I think, as we're getting a little bit more advertisement out there, and people are using us for promotional. We actually are getting people from all over. Of course, we do still get a lot of foreign people, European people, but it's just becoming something that people are actually starting to come to Baker to say, "Hey, I came here just to see this." We get a lot of out-of-state travelers and things that say they saw it on TV or whatever, and they actually went out of their way to come to Baker. So that's good for us. It's good for this great little town, and it's just super exciting.
Oh, that's great to hear. I had no idea that had kind of turned a little bit. It just seemed like it was always, because you have a lot of the foreign tourists, when they come in, you have them put up the money from where they come from. You frame that and put it up in the gift shop now.
We do. It was something we never intended on doing. We just had one couple, our very first couple from Bahrain, asked us why we had our money up on the wall. And we explained to them that in the United States, it's customary to do that with your first sale to bring you good luck. They asked me if they could put theirs up. I said, sure. And now that has just gone crazy. And we have an entire counter and half a wall with framed currency from all over the world. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many different currencies we have, but places like Madagascar and, places that I didn't even know had currency.
Wow.
They stop and they give us their currency, put their pictures up on Facebook, and that's been a real fun thing for us to do.
No, and I think it's a unique thing to do, too. Not everybody does that, and, I give you credit for coming up with something unique. All right, real quick before we go, we're almost out of time, and it's been great being able to visit with you again. I promise we'll stop in when we have more time next time. But if you would, please give your website for not only World's Tallest Thermometer, but for Temp 134, and that way our listeners know where to go to look for you.
Absolutely. So if they could just go to worldstallestthermometer.com, there's no spaces in that, so it's a kind of a long word to type in. We have an online store for Temp 134 Gift Shop. It's a history. There's pictures. We have events. We're looking forward to our second annual Thermometer Day in October, so maybe we can chat again, Tracy, as it gets closer to that.
You bet.
But we keep events. We do contests, and our store hours, everything is on that World's Tallest Thermometer.com page.
Perfect. Well, Larray, it was great being able to talk to you. I'm sorry we missed you on our trip yesterday, but at least we did get to say hi to Bill. We saw him for a few minutes. Actually, I thought he was one of the people getting off the tour bus until he came up, and it was like, hey, I know that guy. But anyway, it was great seeing him. Please tell him thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we will keep in touch. We will stop by next time on our trip up there, I promise you.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, and good luck both today and tomorrow with all the folks you've got stopping in.
All right. We're excited.
Oh, very good. All right. We'll keep in touch. Folks, stick with us. There's more to come. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Debbie from the Busy Ladies Podcast. Join us as we explore various women's issues with a unique and personal perspective on how to handle family, work, health, happiness, and life in general. We share with you how we begin each new day trying to be the best that we can be. We talk to women about what matters most in their lives. If you want to learn or share new and different ideas, then join the Busy Ladies. Hopefully, in the process, we can also entertain you. Check us out at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com.
And welcome back. Well, as we have said for many weeks, camping is in full swing, and so are the vintage rallies. And we would like to speak to as many folks as we can about these vintage rallies, just due to the fact we are a big part of that. We enjoy it. It's a hobby that is growing immensely across the United States. And there was a rally that was recently held up in Oregon, and it was by our friends Bob and Jason Gallagher. They were the hosts. If you'll remember, we spoke to them a couple of times in the past. One was after Modernism Week out in Palm Springs, California. And the previous, we were actually discussing what is their very famous custom-built mid-century two-story travel trailer. And you might want to go to our website to take a look. Yeah, I know you're laughing, aren't you, Jason? It gets attention everywhere it goes. So now that the beans are spilled and they are on the phone, I would like to introduce the folks who actually put on this rally. We'll explain more about it. Happens to be from Oregon, Bob and Jason Gallagher. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, you just can't quit laughing whenever somebody brings up Cupcake, can you?
Cupcake. We love Cupcake.
You know, and what a great name for it. I really encourage any of our listeners to go back into our shows, take a look at what Cupcake actually is. Before we get into the rally, why don't you give a very brief description so we don't keep anybody hanging?
It's a custom-built two-story trailer that we had done by Brian's Vintage Trailers up in Washington. And it's we wanted something a little bit unusual, and Brian came through for us. It's a two-story trailer and a little bit different. And I don't know where the name came from, but somebody called it Cupcake, and we loved it, so that's what it is to us.
Well, congratulations to all of you, including Brian, because everyone succeeded. That thing is absolutely gorgeous, and it does get attention everywhere it goes for obvious reasons. You don't see a lot of two-story trailers out there, but because of the fact that you guys did that, it extends beyond that. You guys are probably some of the funnest people at an event because of the quirkiness, the unusual things that you have, what you bring to the events, which is what we're going to get into now. You guys just put on an event, and it was called All-American Vintage Trailer Rally up in Oregon, and I'm going to let you run with it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where it was, because it was a great venue, and who was there, what was allowed in? I know there was a lot going on. I'll let you guys take it.
Well, it was at a place called Antique Powerland in Brooks, Oregon. Just happens to be conveniently about 8 minutes from our house, which was nice.
Nice.
So it was easy this time to bring some of the toys that Bob has created.
No, Bob's created toys? I can't imagine.
So it was nice to have something close to home.
Okay, well, first let me ask you, I have to interrupt. What did you take in the way of toys?
A hairdryer flyer. It's, I don't know, it's just nonsense and fun. It's an old salon hairdryer from the 50s that we turned into a cart, I guess you'd say. I don't know, it's mobile. You can drive it around. And it's just so stupid and funny, and it makes people smile. So we love it.
Yes, it does. Every time I see the picture or the videos of you guys riding on those, it's incredible. So, okay, sorry to interrupt. Go on with what happened up at the event.
Well, there's also the other, I don't know if you saw the other roaming chair that is a little mini vintage trailer.
I did.
So, yeah, we brought that one as well, which that really garnered a lot of attention.
Now that's your personal vehicle, Bob, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yes. Yeah. They're just so much fun. And I'm kind of hoping we started a little trend there. There's a friend of ours, Glenn and Debbie Dow, they have a hairdryer flyer now too. But now we have hairdryer flyer envy because Glenn built one that shoots bubbles out the back. So you know how it is. It's become one-upsmanship. And we know there are a couple others in the works, so we're kind of hoping it's a little trend thing for vintage trailer alleys.
Oh, very good. You know, all that makes it fun. And as I said, you guys know how to have fun out there. So who showed up? How many rigs were there?
We had, now this is the first rally for us. We had never hosted one before. And we had just a couple things that we wanted to do hosting a rally. We've been to a lot of them, and there are things that we like and maybe things not so much. But we wanted a rally that was all-inclusive. So it was really vintage trailers and campers that were built in 1980 or before, or reproductions, you know, reproduction Shastas, those sorts of things would be welcome. And we actually even set aside a place that we called Purgatory for anybody that was just into vintage trailers but doesn't have one and showed up with a newer motorhome.
Oh, very good.
So we had a good turnout for a first-time rally. We had 86 vintage trailers.
Wow.
Which is a good show for time, and just had a blast. It was really a lot of fun for us, and we had good feedback, and we're thinking we're going to do it again next year.
Well, I already know you're going to because you've already put the website up, and I'm going to give
true.
That here at the end. Yeah,
yeah.
You are
it's
committed
true.
Now. hey, there was a lot going on up there. I know it was at Antique Powerland that you mentioned, Jason, and they have a lot just in general that's going on, but they had some other things that they had brought in at the same time. You want to explain some of that?
Well, it was very fitting when we got the call, I don't know how many months or weeks after Bob had set everything up, that we got the call asking about Civil War reenactors looking to use the venue at the same time to do their Civil War reenactment that they do every year, 4th of July weekend. They kind of got moved out of the place they used to do it and wanted to do it here. And, we were like, heck yeah. I mean, it's all American rally. It doesn't get much more American than that. So, we were really, really excited to kind of partner with them and go along with what they were doing. And Bob had said that they were, antique camping while we are vintage camping.
Oh yeah. Those folks really rough it.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah, it was really a lot of fun partnering with them, and just a great group of people. And there were probably, I think there were 400 or 500 reenactors out there in their tents, and it was just great entertainment. They came over in the evening, and we had a dance, like an 1863 social dance, and they invited us to participate in that. Which made for a really odd mix of people. You had people in Civil War uniforms and 19th century dresses mixed in with people with flamingo hats and aloha shirts.
No, I can't imagine that was going on. Aloha shirts and flamingo hats. I think I've seen those before.
It was really a good time. Really enjoyed it. It was a good partnership. And we're hoping, we haven't contracted yet for last year. We're still working on it. But we're really hoping that we can partner with them again for next year.
Oh, very good. That would be awesome. So Antique Powerland actually has steam-powered vehicles like old tractors and big heavy equipment. The trolley car that we had mentioned before we went on the air, they had the pictures that I saw, I don't know if it's still there, but a vintage gas station. What a Kodak moment that is for all the vintage trailers.
Yeah, it's really quite a place. And I tried to explain that to people ahead of time, and it's just kind of hard when you tell them about it. For them to envision exactly what's out there. But there's an antique trolley that ran right through our camp area. There are small 1/8 scale trains, and it's a scale of train where you can actually sit on it and, with the whole family and ride around. Very cool. And a bunch of museums for John Deere tractors and Caterpillar tractors and cars and motorcycles and trains and trolleys. Just a lot of things out there. And I think people, even though I told people ahead of time about it, I think people who came out for the rally were still surprised at just how awesome and cool it is out there. Just so much neat stuff to look at and if you, I don't know how anybody ever would, but if you got tired of looking at vintage trailers, you could just walk around and there was so much other stuff to look at. I think people really got a kick out of that.
There was actually older stuff than the trailers.
Yes.
Way older.
Well, I give you guys a lot of credit for putting on an event like that, and all the photos made it look absolutely fantastic for everybody that was there. So hopefully everybody enjoys seeing the photos as much as we did. And I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you for next year. It is all ALL-American-Rally.com. And if they want to get in touch with you, I guess you can get them set up once you have everything organized with Antique Powerland again.
Yeah, the website is actually set up and ready to go. And there's a video on there from our rally this year. It'll give people an idea of the fun we had. And I'll do updates. I'm expecting that we'll have the contract finalized probably by September 1st, and I'll update the website with all the information. But really, the basics are no reservations required. You just show up. It's $30 a night, and trailers, campers, whatever, 1980 or older, or stuff that just has the vibe of old camp trailers. And if you happen to show up with something newer, we're going to find a place for you.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll get to make it up there. But guys, thanks for being with us. We appreciate you taking the time. And again, folks, you need to go check out Cupcake on our website. You will not be disappointed in what the Gallaghers have put together. So, hey guys, thanks again. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, folks, stick with us. There is a lot more to come. We will be right back. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio, the voice of the RV industry.
Social media is a powerful weapon in your business's marketing arsenal. Whether you are drawn to LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or other platforms, The LinkedIn Lady Show will guide you in building a strategy that works best for your brand. Carol McManus is the LinkedIn Lady, and her show is designed to inform, inspire, and educate businesses, entrepreneurs, and marketers of all sizes around the world on the effective use of social media for growing their business. The LinkedIn Lady will interview a variety of guests, business owners who will showcase their business and how they use social media to capture new and engage with their existing customers.
And welcome back. Well, as Pink Flamingo is always attempting to bring you tips on the best way to maintain your RV and keep it on the road, we always like to reach out to our friends at Unique RV in Las Vegas. And with that, we call this our care and maintenance segment on the show. And as I mentioned, keeping it on the road, the best way to do that with care and maintenance is basically, or literally, keeping it on the road with sufficient driving skills and the ability to avoid a wreck. Now, wrecks, unfortunately, mean boiling down to calls to your insurance company, possible rate increases, unfortunately, that happens. And then not to mention the risk of, and this is the worst part, injury or death out on the road. Then there's the repair time, and we have discussed this with Unique RV. Even though you may take it in and they say, yeah, we can get this fixed, it is not necessarily just up to them, which Mario and Mike have talked about, just due to the fact there's always that delay time on trying to get parts back in again. So you are delayed on getting your RV back. So today we're going to be discussing some of the safe driving habits to keep you, your passengers, and your RV safe while you're out on the road. So joining me on the phone is half of the team from Unique RV, Mike Shortino. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How about you guys?
We're doing well. You and I, let's talk about this to start out. We each have significant backgrounds in driving RVs, whether it be big RVs, long towable RVs, the fact that you drive them on a daily basis, just being there at the shop and pulling them in and out, having to take them to different locations for the repairs that you have to do. There's a lot that goes into driving these rigs that people don't think about, correct?
There's a lot of stuff that people don't think about. A lot of people think it's like hopping in your little Honda Civic and you just barrel down the road, no big thing. I mean, you have 40 feet, sometimes 50 feet if you're driving a big Prevost bus behind you. You have tag axles, you have air brakes. The steering's different. You're sitting over the axle, not sitting in front of the axle. I mean, it's a totally different scenario.
Well, then let's get into towables. I mean, you take a big coach like that that's 40, 45 feet, and then you put a trailer behind it. Now you're extensively longer, and you've got bigger swings, bigger turning radiuses, and people get into trouble. And it's sometimes in some of the most minor situations, and they end up wrecking their RVs.
Big time. I mean, you're as long as those tractor trailers you're trying to stay away from on the highway when you're driving your car. You're just as long as they are. And the problem is you have a lot more going on, especially if you hook a trailer behind it, because the length is unbelievable. You get in a minor little gust, you have 70 feet of wall down both sides of you that a minor little breeze will push you over three lanes. And if you're not used to that, it's a lot to try to hang on to, because the coach is going to go one way and the trailer is going to go a different way. So you need to be on top of what you're doing when you're driving something like that.
Well, and you and I have seen this on a regular basis, and that is people driving big coaches with trailers, trucks with big trailers, they're driving at high speeds, which you shouldn't do. And let me give a little background. Number one, I started towing when I was about 12 years old, and I can remember my dad telling me, slow down, take it slow. Those are the words he told me when I first learned how to tow. And then I used that strategy all the years that I've ever towed. And then many years ago, I was on a tour bus, and I had a tour bus driver who was chauffeuring me around. It was on a training tour that I was out on, and it was me and a 45-foot Prevo bus. And the very first time that I had driven that Prevo, what were the first words that came out of his mouth? Take it slow. Drive slow. Everything you do motion-wise, take it slow. And you know what? To this day, I still use those words as my gospel while I'm driving. And if you do that, everything is much more apt to go the direction you want it to, and it usually turns out pretty darn safe.
And it is. I mean, you don't want to do sudden movements because you have a lot behind you, and you have a lot to control. A quarter turn on a steering wheel will move it quite a bit because you have so much length. A quarter turn in a car won't do anything, and you have to get the relation car motorhome out of your head that they are two different things. I mean, you're not driving a car. You have twice the amount of force behind you. And then some of these new coaches, when you drive them, it's like driving a Cadillac. You can be doing 100 miles an hour down the road and not even pay any attention to it. Then you hit an in-grade, and you're going up a hill, and you just romp on it even more, and it's going that fast, and it's doing, but it's putting such force and such abuse on the drivetrain, the heats go up, and now you need to worry about the brakes and everything else because you're warming everything up because you're going so fast, and people don't realize that.
Well, and let's talk about you just said brakes. Let's talk about the slowing down factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're traveling even 60 miles an hour, that's 88 feet per second, which means you just covered a football field in 3.4 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you're now in a big rig. You started this out saying you're not in your Honda Civic. Trying to stop that rig, especially with the weight behind you, and if you have a trailer, that's a significant rig that you're trying to slow down.
Very much so. And you have all that weight behind you. And then the problem is it's not just you need to worry about. You need to worry about the people that cut in front of you that don't realize what it takes to drive something like that. They'll cut in front of you and cut your distance down even faster. So now if you need to stop, you don't have the room to stop because they took that up in front of you thinking that you're going to stop like they are. At 80 miles an hour with I don't know how many tonnage behind you, you're not going to stop. It's going to be very hard pressed, even though you do have air brakes.
Well, and you see those rigs coming into your facility on a regular basis.
We had a somewhat like a toy hauler, but it's a Screaming Eagle, and the guy he's a professional NHRA driver. They were going from state to state. They had he had a blowout at 80 miles an hour left front.
Mm.
Somehow he got it not to flip over on his side, but he said, stood up, both feet on the brakes, trying to not drop it into a ditch.
Wow.
And it did $45,000 worth of damage. It went all the way down the left side. It blew his steer tire out on the left front.
And blowing out a steer tire, as we've discussed on the show before, that is not something that you want to have. No, it's not good. You don't want to have that happen. All right, well, let's talk about things that can happen at low speeds or while you're at a stop. Look how many rigs that you have come in that people forget to take the gas nozzle or the fuel nozzle out of the side of the RV, and then they end up ripping the side of the RV away.
They drive right off with it. Now you have damage to your coach, you have damage to your pump. It's just not good. I mean, there's a lot you need to do with these. There's a lot more double checking that you need to do, like kind of like a pilot. You have to walk around the thing constantly. You need to look underneath the tires to make sure animals aren't underneath there, for one. There's no kids' toys or something got shoved underneath it, because they sit higher than a car. So things periodically get underneath these things. And if you don't pay attention that there's something underneath it, you'll drive over it and do a lot of damage to whatever's underneath it. You have holding tanks you got to deal with. You have airlines you have to deal with. So it gets very pricey if you hit something and it drives it up into something.
Well, or people get complacent with the fact they pulled into a service station, they pulled into a little general store, and they said, hey, I parked off to the side. There was nothing there when I parked it. Well, do that walk around, because somebody may have parked behind you while you were in the store. It could have been a motorcycle, which is very small. You're not going to see that as you back up. Or again, somebody let their kids out of the car and they're behind you. So again, make sure that you've done that walk around before you take off.
Every time you get in and out of that, you want to walk all the way around that.
And some of the things that you've seen also, people need to, this is where you need to acquire actually a case of OCD. You need to double and triple check your hitch, your safety chains, and everything else before you take off on that trip.
People don't do that with a car or a truck when they're towing something, but you really need to pay attention when you're doing that with a motorhome, because you can't see behind it like you can in a car. There's no rear window in these, so you can't see what's there. The backup camera only works and comes on when you're backing up. So you need to, like you said, triple check everything to make sure everything's good. The chains are tight. Nothing fell off. You know, you're still attached to the hitch. The hitch is still attached to the coach. You know, just, it sounds stupid and mundane, but it's very, very important.
Well, and then let's go back to the backing. Have someone as a spotter to help back you up, just due to the fact there are going to be blind spots that you realistically cannot see.
We had a customer, he came in for one estimate, and he pulled in the driveway. We got him all done, gave him an estimate. We asked if he needed a spotter. He said no, and we knew better, and we should have helped him, but we didn't. And he proceeded to back out, and he took a car out behind him, sitting at the curb. So he literally just pulled back in. We had to call the police. They did a police report and everything else, and we wrote them another estimate, and we had to fix that car and both wrecks now on his motorhome.
And right there at the shop.
Right there, right in front of us. Right in front of us. But, you know, he had the logic, I've been doing this for years, I can see behind me. Yeah, and most of the time, but it only takes one time. And it takes one time when you're distracted by something. Now with all the cell phones and all the things that beep at you and everything while you're driving, you need to pay more attention than you used to have to.
Well, and then there are some security measures and safety measures within most of the RVs now. One of those being a trailer sway controller. If you happen to be hauling a trailer, you need to know how to operate that. So let's say, as you opened up with, you get some wind that's starting to sway that trailer on the back end. You don't want to hit the brakes on your RV. You want to know how to manually reach down and activate the trailer sway controller to bring that trailer back in line again. If you're not familiar with how to do that, it's just going to get uglier.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of those things where you need to really brush up on the manual, get it, and go find a big parking lot somewhere and kind of play with it with the trailer hook behind it, just to see, you know, go to one extreme and then go to the other extreme, just so you can understand what that does and how it feels and what it's going to do. Guessing at it when you're down the road is not the time to be playing with it.
No, not at all.
You need to be doing, you need to have this, some kind of knowledge of it and what it does beforehand. Before you get behind the wheel of this thing and decide to pull a double stacker with, you know, a Harley and a car and toys, and, you know, it's not good, because it will, something like that will flip the coach over and hurt somebody.
Well,
you know, so.
Exactly. Well, Mike, thanks for all your input. Folks, whether it happens to be a motorhome, you're pulling a trailer with your truck or whatever tow vehicle, if it turns into bad weather, if you stop, make sure you take some of the things that we just discussed into account on a regular basis. Don't think it's never going to happen to me. Unfortunately, it does. Mike, you guys see it on a regular basis.
Every day. Wish I didn't.
Yeah, but that's why you're in the business. Unique RV has been there for 45 years, folks, and that's why they're a repair business. 45 years of making repairs to RVs. It's because accidents do happen. But, Mike, thanks so much for all your input. We appreciate it. And
thank
you. We'll be with you next week. Folks, enjoy it while you're out there on the road. Have a safe trip, but travel safe. Enjoy the RV lifestyle. This is Pink Flamingo RV Radio. We'll see you next week.